another week of staying at home and pretending that we aren't slowly all losing our minds is under our belt. So Anna, you're still here. I'm still here. That's a win. Every day we can say that we can do our jobs and not have our headphones or AirPods glued into our ears is a win right now.
We get to see when we stand up and walk around.
Yeah, when we get a small glimmer of sunlight outside to walk around, it's everybody on our Slack channel is like, bye, there's sun right now. I'm going outside to walk really quick. I'll be back in a minute. It's like every time a cloud rolls away, that happens. It's been funny to watch. For me, this week at least has been my two feelings that are not totally product related that I've had are one, it feels like on a macro level, this is the first week we're really starting to see that, you know, we might like plans for returning are coming out. And I think that's affecting everybody business-wise and personally just start getting into a different mindset that, yeah, we're still hunkering down and sheltering at home and all that, but now we need to start thinking about what does the next phase look like. But the other thing that stuck with me that's a little more product related is I kind of like hit my limit of coronavirus related emails this morning. I don't know. I think I was just getting sort of sick of every morning seeing what brands were having a new take on coronavirus, like trying in some way to relate what's going on with what they do. So that was one thing. But then the other thing was like all these brands that have emerged out of the woodworks I wasn't hearing from for weeks are just like all of a sudden like chiming in. And I'm just like, I haven't unsubscribed, you know, at this rate for a really long time. So I don't know. That's kind of what stuck with me. I know maybe it's a personal thing, but I did post about it on LinkedIn because I was just like, okay, has anybody else experienced this? And a lot of people chimed in. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's funny that you say that because so we don't watch a lot of TV with commercials, honestly, but we've been watching the Michael Jordan document on YouTube TV, actually. So now I have to watch commercials, which I haven't had to. And so we were watching it last night, and oh my gosh, if I hear the phrase, these uncertain times, one more time, I am absolutely going to lose my mind. I am with you. I'm absolutely over it. And the one like respite for me was Wendy's had a commercial that like they've got free nugs on Fridays. And I was like, thank you. Like somebody, it wasn't about, oh my gosh, these uncertain times, like stock video of people hugging, stock people of people looking at an iPad. It was just like, you know what? Free nugs on Friday. And I was like, that's what I need.
That's just, what you do.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you do, Wendy's. You bring the nugs. Side note, I don't want to start a huge rant, but you said uncertain times. Like, I've been starting to believe that, have we all collectively been believing a myth that times were ever certain? It's weird how like all of a sudden we're just like, oh my gosh, times are uncertain. I'm like, times are always uncertain. Like, where did we go wrong where we just thought like, oh, with AI and robotics and the great meteorology, everything is known?
I think the word uncertain is neither positive nor negative. So it feels like this like saccharine superficial talk, you know, like we don't want to be negative and we don't want to be positive. And like, it's like you can see the stock photo of people in a high rise. So there's something about the marketing lately around this that just feels so disingenuous, or I don't know if we're just sick of seeing it.
But I think if we were to connect this to product, you know, think about like your core mission and what you do first, and then just figure out, you know, that will help guide you on what to say. And I think I ended by saying, or if you should say anything at all, we've reflected this even with Innovate Map or Even Better Product. I mean, we switched to BP Weekly to make this useful. I thought it had its place. We weren't just like, you know what, just shut it down. That was actually one thought I had, is like, should we just shut down Better Product? I mean, nobody wants to hear these wins right now. Instead, we shifted model. But for Innovate Map, having to look at, you know, some of the marketing and sales strategies that we do there, we've had to ask ourselves that too, like, what is our role? For a couple of weeks, we focused on existing client communications for sure, but we kind of really dialed back the outbound because it's like we had nothing to say. And I guess if you're a product and you're not in the front lines or supporting the front lines, you know, really look and think about, do you have something unique to add to this conversation right now?
Or just do it. I mean, really, that's not exactly what I meant to say, but I got a text from Verizon today that's like, hey, we added 15 gigs to your plan. Sweet. Great.
Yeah.
Do it. Just do it. Don't tell me about it.
It's not like, you know, at Verizon, we care about, oh, how this affects click and
slow
read this
piano
long thing. It's just like
fades in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you bring up a really great example. I like that. Just do it. If you're going to help, just do it and help somebody out. I think it's a really good segue into today's episode of BP Weekly, because we're going to have Ryan Chan, the CEO and co-founder of Upkeep. And I think he's going to touch on a lot of this and some of their responses, because they deal with this as well in his line of work, working with maintenance workers. So great segue, and really excited to have Ryan join us on the Better Product Weekly show this week.
If you could tell us a little bit about Upkeep.
So we build software for maintenance teams. So when we think about the food manufacturers, the facility managers of the world, we build software for those people. And the whole goal of Upkeep is to help streamline communication and help them do their work better, faster, and easier.
So obviously, you know, software kind of supporting food manufacturers right now. I'm really curious, kind of, how has Upkeep been affected by what's going on in the world right now?
To be very transparent and honest, I think every single business has been impacted some way or the other. I think what we've realized in our business is that we've segmented our business into three different areas: our customer base, who's critically impacted by coronavirus; our customers who are, let's call it, moderately impacted by coronavirus; and then our customers who are actually growing as a result of coronavirus. And the way that we've pivoted and changed during this time has been focused around supporting the ones that are critically impacted, giving them offers to help keep them on board, and just go above and beyond for our customers in every single possible way that we can. I mean, that's really the only thing that we can do for that group of customers. We've offered them discounts. We've offered them credits to stay on board with Upkeep, because we know that if we treat them right today, you know, if things do turn around for them, they're going to want to come back as well. And the second half of our resources are really dedicated towards, you know, finding the customers that are growing as a result of coronavirus, and trying to help grow and support them through their growth journey as well. Some of our customers are seeing unprecedented amounts of demand. And we recently talked to one of our customers who's seeing, you know, more demand in 1 month than they've ever seen in a full quarter. And so for us, we've, you know, kind of shifted our team into two like different silos: the customers that are retaining and working with our customers that are struggling, and the team that is really focused on growing with our customers that are growing as a result of this.
That's fascinating that you've separated them in that way. I don't think we've quite heard it put that way. For the ones that are, you know, critically impacted, you talk about, you know, treating them right. That's something that we're hearing people talk about, and it's something that we advise even our clients to do. But I'd like to understand a little bit more from a product perspective. What are you doing? Like, what is your team actually doing in the day-to-day to quote unquote treat your customers right during this time?
It's a good question, because a lot of people talk the talk, don't walk the walk. For us, you know, I'll be transparent here as well, because it's very difficult to make product changes immediately, because this whole coronavirus thing has come in a matter of weeks, actually. And so I wouldn't say we've walked the walk in terms of product, but what we have done, any customers that reach out to us, we're extremely generous with giving them credits. We did this by segmenting our customer base into these three different categories based off of industries. We said restaurants, hotels, hospitality, and travel, entertainment. These are critically, critically impacted businesses that we want to do whatever we can in our power to go above and beyond for them. You know, for us, it comes not just from the credit perspective, but also our customer success team. We've dedicated a group of our customer success team just hyper-focused on these five industries that we know are critically impacted. And we are doing constant outreach to them. We've also done a lot of community work. We've put together a job board for companies that are hiring right now. We have excess resources right now, because we actually have paused our hiring. We have excess resources on our recruiter front. So we offered him up to help people in our industry actually review their resumes and get it polished so that they can find their next job. These are some of the things that we've done more on the community aspect, because product is, you know, I'm sure you guys know, it takes a little bit longer to react to versus, you know, what's going on today is happening literally over the past 3-4 weeks.
I think there's a couple of things you said that are just are different kind of from what we're hearing from other people, but that idea of segmenting out your customers, I think is really fascinating. Focusing your team, kind of splitting, it sounds like you're kind of splitting your team a bit and having some directly focused on the ones that are like experiencing the most kind of critical changes. And then I like how you talk about participating in your community, kind of using your extra resources and kind of being a part of that. Talk to me a little bit about what you mean by your, like, who, what do you mean your community? Who's your community?
Absolutely. So we build software again for maintenance and facility managers. They're in every single building you step into. They're in every single industry. They're in every single country in the world. And often we don't really realize the work that they do, because a lot of the work that they do is helping maintain our facilities. And oftentimes, you know, you only realize and recognize them when something breaks down. So our community is the group of people that we think are working in the backgrounds. The people who keep our facility clean, the people who are sanitizing, you know, our buildings that we step into, cleaning our windows. Those are the people that we service. And those are the people that we consider as part of our community. Because upkeep spans such a horizontal market, and we serve so many different industries, we know that some of our customers are deeply impacted and some of them are less impacted. And what we wanted to do, like we mentioned, was split up into two different task forces. You know, and one task force is focused on helping our customers, this community of people that are deeply critically impacted, helping them get back on their feet.
All the resources that you're discussing, I imagine, has impact on even your own growth as a company. What's the impact on the overall product vision? Are you driving it forward, or have you kind of like taken a step back and said, let's refocus on the existing customers we have now? Or do you also have a, you know, part of your team still looking towards actual growth for upkeep?
All of our plans have changed. I can't talk for every single business, but I could just imagine every single company's plans for 2020 have changed in some way, shape, or form. For us on the product front, we looked at it kind of in two different facets again. And I'm so proud of our team for stepping up in this way. We realized, like, you know, hey, we've got this amazing product roadmap that we set out, you know, 4 months ago. Our team basically stepped up and said, I think we could still do it. I think we could still hit our product roadmap goals, even with the product engineering hiring pause that we set out as a result of COVID. So I'm really proud of our product engineering team for stepping up and saying, you know, we said at the beginning of this year that we've got the best product roadmap, and they're still committed to it. The second facet to how we've stayed nimble during these changing times is that we've said collectively as a company that we're going to stay opportunistic. We're going to stay open to new ideas to how we can better support our customers in this post-COVID world. So one thing that we know, and one thing that our product team has taken on to helping develop, what we realized was, you know, post-COVID, we support the group of people who are going to be sanitizing our businesses, our restaurants, our facilities. They're going to be the ones that are going to give us the safety that we can come back to work, that we can go back into a restaurant and eat without worrying. And so we've been hyper-focused on thinking about how we could better support, you know, our customers in this post-COVID world, knowing that when this does kind of go back to some sort of normalcy, that the first thing that they're going to be focused on is getting their customers back, getting people to come back to their restaurants. And if we can better support them through, let's call it, better collaboration tools, better checklists, better compliance as well, we know that we're going to be best set up to again, help our customers in a way that we couldn't have imagined even 2 months ago.
Yeah, it sounds like you've almost sort of planned for the repositioning of your existing customers once this is all over, which seems really smart. And I think in the case that you're describing, it doesn't sound like an overstatement. We actually had the same, at Innovate Map, you know, our core agency, you know, we had the same realization that as we started talking about, you know, in the coming month, if you know, companies start going back to work, if they start lifting these orders, we started realizing that the role of like office management has changed because we're going to have to actually do a lot of things differently. Like even I just realized like our very wide open snack bowls are probably going to have to go away, which is not at all, I know what you're describing, but it was just like this realization where I was like, oh yeah, this is all gonna change a lot. So I think it's inspiring too, to hear the way that you're talking about the way you shifted your team, but also to be forward-looking and thinking that, okay, what else is going to change when they come back? And it doesn't sound like it's everything's changing for you, but it's slightly repositioning a little bit of how you view your customers.
Absolutely. And the whole premise behind this and what we really focused on as a team is focusing on the things that are within our control. And, you know, we're not trying to like predict the future and how long it's going to take and whether this is a V-shaped curve or a U-shaped curve or a W. You know, for us, what we said is we built a business to look in the long term. We know that the fundamentals of our business are here for the long term. We know that at some point there is going to be a turn towards normalcy. And for us, you know, we want to focus on the things that we can control. There's so much doom and gloom when you read the news. And for us, we basically said, we're going to focus on three things. We're going to focus on our mindset. So every day when we come to work, what is our mindset? And do we have an optimistic, are we positive? The second thing that we're going to focus on is our effort. How much effort do we put in every single day? And the third piece is, you know, what are we doing for our customers and our continue to stay committed to our customers in the long term? And we have this maniacal focus because these are the things that are within our control. We know the world is going to go back to some sort of normalcy at some point. We don't know exactly when. And so for us, we're just focusing on, again, the things that we can control.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that, Ryan, and really appreciate you sharing what you're doing, the energy that you have. And I think that what you're describing is pretty inspiring for a lot of product leaders. So I thank you for sharing that with us on this week's episode. Number one, the initial reaction, which I'm sure you agree with, is Ryan's enthusiasm is amazing. And I think that it feels genuine and you feel it coming through. I don't know if it's, we're talking to him at a good time and things are going forward, but I at least just hope that the first takeaway people get from that is like the enthusiasm and positivity. So that was really welcome.
I feel better just like talking to Ryan. And it's funny, we usually end these weekly conversations. I like to end it on like, what do you see? What's making you feel hopeful? But I don't feel like we had to ask Ryan that question because he was very, in general, very hopeful overall. I think the way that he has guided his team, I think, you know, talking about his values, the way they're executing, like it does feel all very tinged with the optimism.
Yeah. I feel like in this episode, you could really, I actually hope people, I would even listen to this again. I think he touched on like leadership, he touched on business, he touched like on so many key things that he's doing really well. That was great. So of all the great things, Anna, what was maybe one key thing that you took away from that?
For me, I loved hearing about how his customers are experiencing this crisis differently. So for some of his customers, you know, this is a really bad time. Like, you know, things have slowed down. They don't have like, you know, hotels, restaurants, things like that. Yet the other side of his customers are seeing unprecedented growth, and how he has kind of split his team to support these different customers, the ones that are, you know, again, he talked about proactively reaching these customers and giving them credits and like wanting to stick around for them. And on the other side, he's got a whole team dedicated to just support these, you know, these maintenance teams that are absolutely surging right now. I don't know that we've heard people talk about their customers actually being affected in totally different ways.
Yeah, we haven't seen somebody talk about splitting the customers up in quite that way. And I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like that's the most useful thing that people could take away from this is like, go do that now. It might be the best way to segment right now. And I also like what you said too, which was being proactive. That was a really key moment too. He didn't wait for people to send the messages. They were proactive about doing it. And you even mentioned with like Verizon and your personal example early in the show, like being proactive and just doing that is the way to go in something like this. Don't wait.
And he's right. Maintenance and sanitation, I mean, are more important than ever. And he also, I think, he said something to the effect of, you know, they're not focusing on, you know, what the world's going to look like. You know, they're not trying to make predictions, like he said, like the W growth or the U growth or the chart or whatever he was referring to. But he's basically like, we are focusing on things that are in our control and things that we understand. And maintenance and sanitation are going to be a huge part of now, and they're going to be a huge part going forward. He mentioned his three fundamentals that he's focusing on: his mindset, the effort, and what they're doing for customers. And I love that.
You talked about how they repositioned or their customers going forward too, I think is really smart. Thinking we live in uncertain times, we don't know what it is, but with some amount of certainty, you can start to guess at, you know, how your customers might value is going to change. And that's something we have talked about on this show a few times, which is what's valuable right now. But he's kind of advocating, think about the next phase, which is how will you change for them as they go forward? Now for him, it's kind of maybe more clear because he's got people that whose jobs will distinctly change. But I bet if a lot of people listening to this thought through their customers and thought through what might change about there, they might find some opportunities where thinking through the future, how that value might change.
And he really continues the theme that we've heard from other people, that they're not changing the product or the roadmap yet, but they are kind of changing the way they message or the way they support customers. And that is interesting to hear that continue.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. So it's good to hear that reflected. But every episode we're doing right now, I think is immensely useful. We're getting good feedback from these episodes too. So I definitely want to encourage people to keep reaching out to Anna or myself on LinkedIn. So we have fairly unique names. Just look for the Anna Eaglin and Christian Beck that are tied to the Better Product and Innovate Map and live in Indianapolis. Pretty easy. So definitely feel free to reach out to us there. And we're also doing a lot with the Better Product community right now. So definitely encourage you, as always we do on this show, to go to betterproduct.community to sign up and join. We've got a growing contingent of both product leaders and people that are sort of on the front lines of product, designers, product managers, product marketers, and those sorts of things. We're really trying to continue to grow that audience so that we can provide better resources and start connecting people better, not just for the current times that we're in, but as we strengthen the product community going forward. So thanks a lot for your all's time today. And I'm Christian.
And I'm Anna. And you're listening to Better Product Weekly.
We'll be back next week with another one.
Which is what we mean by weekly.